We begin the current daf Masech the site of daf Mem Gimel. We begin 18 lines down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in our Perek Meshulach Melchama, which again discusses as a continuation of the previous Perek, which spoke about certain things that had to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, and one of them being what the Kohen Meshulach Melchama tells to the Jewish army that's fighting the Melchama, certain things that they have to be told. Now, our previous Mishnah spoke about the criterion of what goes into who fights the war, and these are things which are designated by the Kohen Meshulach Melchama. Now, Amishta continues on this theme by quoting a pasuk in Devarim that says, "V'dibru hashoitrim al ha'am lemer," that the officers speak to the people saying as follows, "Miho ish ashebona bayis chadish v'lecha nachay," who is somebody that built a new house and didn't inaugurate it yet? "Yelech v'yoshev l'veisei v'gamme," he should go home to his house, whereas the pasuk says, because maybe he's going to be killed in the war, and another man is going to inaugurate his house, so that shouldn't happen, you go home and don't fight in the war. Now, the Mishnah explains the criterion for this halacha. Echad abayin abayis hateven. This halacha of building a house and having not inaugurated yet, so that says the person has to go home and not fight in the war, is not just a house that you live in, but even a house where you put straw, or Beis HaBakar, or a barn where you keep your cattle, or Beis HaEitzim, or a place where you keep your wood, or a Beis HaEitzim, or a place where you store things like wine and oil and grain. Now, moreover, it's not just if someone built it. In other words, Echad HaBayna, it's whether if the person had built it, or Ve'echad HaLekeach, or whether he had purchased a built house. Now, the reason for this is, although it says in the Torah that it's someone that built a new house, for him it's new because he had purchased it, and the Gemara learns it out from the Pesukim, how we see this concept. It's not just if you built it, even if you purchased it, or Ve'echad HaYerush, or if someone inherited, or Ve'echad Shanit Loi B'Matan, or if someone gave it to him as a gift. Either way, for him it's new, and therefore, that if he has not yet inaugurated yet, he goes back home and he doesn't fight in the war. So that's one exemption regarding having built a house and not having inaugurated yet. Then the next pasuk continues with another criterion. Who is somebody that has planted a vineyard and has not done chilu to it? Now, the halacha of chilu applies that is first 3 years that a tree is planted, they're considered arla, which is closed off. It's not permitted for the fruits to be enjoyed. Isra hana. In the fourth year, when it was planted, then he does what's called chilu, which is that he takes the consecrated of the fruits of the fourth year and he deconsecrates that onto monies, just like what with the process that's done with Meister Sheni, and he brings up those monies to Yerushalayim, and he consumes that money in the form of food in Yerushalayim, like the pasuk says in Mikra Yotes, Kodesh Hilulim, which we learn out the word Kodesh over here by Netzer Revai, by Kerem Revai in the fourth year, from the word Kodesh by Meister, just like by Meister, you're Mechalalit, and then you take the consecration of the fruits onto money, and you bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and you consume food there. That's exactly what's done in the fourth year of the fruit. So pasuk says if someone planted a vineyard and he didn't do chilu yet, meaning he didn't get a chance to enjoy the fruits of the fourth year yet, so then again the pasuk there continues with agreement, etc., and says go back home because maybe you're gonna die and some other person is going to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Now and again the Mishnah qualifies. It's echad anateya kerem. It's whether if, as the pasuk says literally, whether you planted a vineyard. Or it's not just a vineyard, whether it's someone that planted 5 fruit trees, which that would give it the classification of a kerem, of a vineyard, again, whether it's grapes or some other fruits, where you have, as the Rashi has the diagram, we have 2 parallel to 2, which make up the 4 the 4 corners of a square, and then you have 1 coming out like a tail on the bottom. If you have that setup of 5 fruit trees, that is also qualifies for this halacha. And vafila mechameshes aminim, and even if it's from 5 different types, they all combine to give it the halacha of a field of fruit trees, which would qualify for going back home. Now, and again, as we said regarding the house, it's echad hanateya, it's whether it's someone that himself had planted it, or ve'echad hamavrich, or the same thing halacha would apply to mavrich, which is the procedure of taking a branch or some part from a tree and sticking that into the ground, which then creates its own tree. Or ve'echad hamarkav, or whether someone that grafts, which grafting is that if someone makes, you make a hole in an existing tree and you take a branch from a different tree and you stick that into the hole into that tree, that then produces fruits from the tree that you had taken it from, and now it's now using it almost as a support to produce fruits from that old tree, or whether someone purchased a tree, or a vineyard or something like that that produces fruits, or someone inherited it, whether it was given as a gift, it doesn't make a difference. For him, it's new. And therefore, again, whether it's specifically Kerem or Noiteya, just like we had by Bias, whether it's Bono or a Bias, it doesn't have to be specifically building, anything that's like that. And doesn't have to be specifically a house here also. It doesn't have to be specifically that he planted it. And doesn't have to be specifically a Kerem. It could be even other fruit trees. That's the second exemption. Moving on to the next pasuk, the next exemption. Who's somebody that has gotten engaged to a woman? So, etc. Again, the pasuk says, go home because you might die in the war and some other man is going to take her. Same thing that you didn't get a chance to inaugurate this relationship like the house and the vineyard. So again, the Mishnah qualifies. Whether the person got engaged to a virgin, or whether they got engaged to a widow, or even if she is the anticipated woman that from his brother who died without any children for him to do yibum, even if he just heard that his brother died in war, all these types of men go back home to inaugurate that relationship with this woman. Now, however, the Mishnah qualifies and says, all these exemptions that we just spoke about regarding someone that built a house or planted a vineyard or that got engaged to a woman, what happens is that they join the ranks of the officers. But what happens is that, as we said in the previous daf, there are two stages for the announcements of the Mashiach Mochama. There's one when they reach the boundaries of the country, meaning when they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, and then there's another announcement that he makes during the war, which is the motivated one, don't be afraid, don't panic. Now the first one is the when they're leaving the boundaries are the announcements of what we just spoke about here in our Mishnah, which is, okay, who built the house and didn't get a chance to inaugurate, who planted a vineyard, who got engaged. So that's what the Mishnah is qualifying it, saying that all these people, they first hear the words of the Kohen regarding the construct of those who fight the war. Then, v'chayisrim, when they hear those announcements, they go, oh, I'm one of those, and then he goes back home. But umesapkin mayim emazin, and they still have to provide water and food for all the soldiers. Umesakin esadrachim, they have to fix the roads. In other words, they're not totally exempt. They're not going out to fight, but they have to wait till they get to the boundary and then they go back home. And more, but they don't totally go home. They still have to help out in the war effort somewhat. Now, however, these are the followings who are not included in the exemptions and don't go back home. In other words, they do go out to war. Where Habayna Beis Shar, if someone builds a house for the gate opening into his property, which that's just where the guard sits and that's protective, or, for example, Achsadra, which Achsadra is somewhat like of a porch that's open in front of the houses, or Mepeset, which is like somewhat of a porch, but it's like for those on the second story, which is all the openings of all the houses that are there in that a complex, open up to that porch, which from there is that's how you get down from a ladder down to the courtyard. So if someone built any one of these, then the halacha is they don't go back. These are not considered ruin ladir. This is not where it's fit for a person to dwell. That's not included in the pasuk of boin nebayis v'lechanochai. So too regarding the next category of netiyah. Hanoteyah arba ilon emaychav. If someone plants only four fruit trees, or even v'chamisha ilon esrak, even if it's five, but it's trees that don't produce fruit, for example, like the sycamore or the cedar tree, that's regarding the second category of exemption. And then regarding the third category we spoke about, if someone's hamachzer es gerushasai, if he takes back the woman that he divorced and he gets engaged to her, that is not valid for having to come back. And the reason in this one is because she's not a new wife to him. And the pasuk specified that kiikach ish isha chadasha, if a man marries a new woman, for him it's not new because he was already once married and he's just getting remarried. So therefore, all these types are from the three categories, they're not included in the exemptions. Moreover, the Mishnah continues, Almana, regarding a widow that got engaged l'kayin gadol to a high priest, which is forbidden, grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyet, a divorcee or a chalutza got engaged to a kayin hedyet, or mamzerz v'nesin l'Yisrael, an illegitimate woman or a woman from the givayim got engaged to a full-fledged Jewish man, or the other way around, bas Yisrael l'mamzel l'nasin, loy ha'yachayzer, those engagements, which usually if you're engaged and you didn't get a chance to consummate the relationship, you go back home, you don't fight the war. For these women, you don't go back. And the reason being is because the pasuk says that you didn't get a chance to marry her. It's like an exclusionary criteria, only her, but not other women would not take you back. Since these women would be relationships in sin, they're not valid to be an exemption from fighting in the war. Rabbi Huda, he adds on regarding what would not allow you to go back and you would have to fight. Also someone that builds a house on its spot. I mean, in other words, if there was a house and then he demolished it and he built to the same dimensions that it was originally built, that would not allow him to go back from the war effort if he wasn't mechanached yet, if he didn't inaugurate it yet, because it's not new. Since he didn't really add on anything more than one that was originally, so the fact is, although, let's say we said when you inherit or when you purchase something where it's not new, but at least for you it's new, here even for him it's not new because it's nothing different than what it was originally before he had knocked it down. So therefore, that wouldn't allow him to leave from the war effort. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, he says another exemption to the exemption, which would not be included in the exemption, is afa boina bais levein in b'sharon. If you build a house made out of bricks in the Sharon, which is the name of an area, where the earth there is not appropriate for bricks, so those houses that are made out of bricks over there, they don't last that long, where twice every 7 years you have to go ahead and rebuild it. Again, lo hayachayz, that wouldn't be considered a valid bias to say that if aloy chanocha, that you could come back from fighting the war. Now the Mishnah continues. However, elu she'in zazim m'kayman, the following that we're going to list, they never even leave from their spot. In other words, the ones we mentioned before, they at least go to the border, and there is where they hear the words of the kohen, and then they say, oh, I'm one of those that I built a house or got engaged, and then they go back from fighting the war. They don't leave Eretz Yisrael. But again, as we said, they don't go back home. They at least are involved somewhat in the war effort, that they have to provide water and food for those who fight, and they have to clean the roads. But these people that we're going to mention, they don't even leave their spot even to go to the boundary to be returned by the words of the kohen. And they are, if somebody built a house and he inaugurated it, but the thing is he didn't live in it yet for 1 year, or not the Karen Bechiloloi, or he planted a vineyard and he actually already did the chil, meaning he's already in his Karen Bevai in the fourth year, but he didn't yet get a chance to enjoy the fruits the entire fourth year. Or Hanoisi Asarasasi, he's not just engaged, he actually consummated the relationship, he got married. Or Hakoinis Yevimto, if someone got married to his Yevama, but he didn't get a chance to yet celebrate the entire Shana Rishayna, Shanema, like it says in the Pasuk in Devar, says Noki Yila Beisai, that he should be cleansed, he should be free for his house, which is interpreted because of his house, Shana Echas, for 1 year, that is Labesai, their Beisai. I mean, that's in reference to his house, where you have to celebrate whatever it is that you're inaugurating for 1 year. So you actually more challenged if you already started than if you didn't. If you didn't start, then at least you go to the boundary, you come back. But if you started and you didn't yet celebrate for an entire year, so then for these things, if you didn't have a whole year, then you don't even leave your spot. They are lebeis. So again, if you inaugurated your house, but not for a full year, or yiya, which is an inclusionary term, which is adding on another type of existence like this, which zekama is a reference to the vineyard. And when it says v'simechas ishtoi, when that he should be glad with his wife, zu ishtoi, that's a reference to his wife. Again, if he got married and he didn't yet have the whole first year, he doesn't leave from his spot. Where then when it says ashalokach, that he took, well, obviously the wife is that you took, is lehevi es yevimta, that comes to include the yevama, there also that if he already consummated the relationship, but he didn't celebrate a year, he doesn't leave to even go to the boundary to even be involved in the war effort whatsoever. As the Mishnah concludes, Ema speak in Mayim and Muslim, these people don't even provide water or food, and they don't fix the roads. They have to be totally involved with their house, their vineyard, and their wife. Now the Gemara brings Tarabon with the Braisa, which elaborates on our Mishnah. The Pasuk says, V'dibra ha-shaytrim, as our Mishnah began by quoting this Pasuk, that the officers, they speak. Now, says the Braisa, Yochel Dvarim Shel Atzman, you would think what they're saying are their own words, that they're saying, Miho Isha Shebana, it's their own words, not the Kain HaMashuach Mohammed saying it, rather the officers say it. Now the problem with this is, Keshuaymu, when it says later on, Vayosva Shoichim, that the officers add on, as the Pasuk there says, Ladabra La'am, to speak to the people, and Va'amran, they say, Miho Ish, Begemen, they say whatever the pasuk says later on. So Biyasva sounds like that this is what they add on from their own. So Haridvarm Shalatzman Amr, so it's only what was later said in the Psukim where that's what they add on more than what the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad said. What it sounds like is, however, that whatever the pasuk said up until now, which was regarding the vineyard and regarding the being engaged to the woman, that there it doesn't say Biyasvu, and only here later does it say Biyasvu. It sounds like up until now were the words of the Kohen. And it's only this later on which is what the Shaitrim, the officers, are adding on. So then the question is, so Hamani Makaim, but Dibra Shaitim said, then how do I understand when it says that the officers spoke regarding when the psukim that it says regarding the building of the house or the planting of the vineyard or the engaging of the woman, where we just illustrated that obviously that wasn't his own words, because it's only later on that he adds on his own words. So what does it mean that the Shaitrim speak? So that the Bryce explains, Bedivri Meshuach Muhammad HaKasim Adaber. The Pasuk is told about the words that the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad says. In other words, the Kohen says, and it's the officers that amplify it and announce that to all the other, to the rest of the people. So HaKetzad, what does that mean? So that the Bryce explains, Kohen Medaber V'Shaita Meshmiya. The Kohen speaks, he says these words, and the officers are the ones who let it be known to all the officers exactly what was said by the Kohen. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings actually three different brises that seemingly contradict each other. Tanucha, the one brise says, Kohen medaber b'shaita meshmiya. The Kohen talks, and the officer announces it. Tan Yidach, another brise says, no, Kohen medaber b'kohen meshmiya. The Kohen speaks, and he announces. Tan Yidach, and another brise says, Shaita medaber b'shaita meshmiya. The officer speaks, and he announces. So Amabaya Hoke, so Sabai says, how do we understand these three brises? So he explains, not a contradiction. The beginning part, which he says Shema Yisrael, and he's talking to the people. So where he says, Atim Kravim, you're coming near today, and you're going to fight, and don't be worried, and so on. Until where he says that Hashem is coming, Lohishiyeshem, to save you. That's Kohen Medaber v'Kohen Meshmiya. That the Kohen says, and the Kohen announces. From where it says, and that V'yadabru, where it says V'yadabru HaShaitrim, until where it says V'yastru HaShaitrim, that's Kohen Medaber v'Shait Meshmiya, as we explained before, the Kohen speaks. But the Shaitrim, when it says V'yadabru, it's not their own words, it's they're amplifying the words of the Kohen. Now, V'yastru V'elach, when the later part of the Sukkah, when it says that the Shaitrim add on, that's Shaitrim Medaber v'Shait Meshmiya, that's yes, the officer speaks and the officer announces, that's because those are his own words, not just announcing the words of the Kohen. Now the Mishnah had quoted the pasuk that says Miyo Isha Shabana Bayis Chadish V'chulu, that this is the words that the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad says, who is the man that built a new house and etc. So on that the Mishnah clarified the parameters of this halacha, and the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates. Tanaban Win the brisa Asher Bana. So the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad says, who is a man that built? So on that says the Braisa, Ainli Ella Ashabana. I would only know that this exemption applies to someone that built. Lokach, if he purchased, Biyarish, or he inherited, or Venitin Loi Bematana, or if it was given to him as a gift. Minayin, for where would I know that if this is new and he didn't get a chance to inaugurate it, that would be included in the exemption of fighting the war? Time 11, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Miho Ish Ashabana. Who's the man that built? In other words, that's the word Ha'ish is an inclusionary term. Because if it could have just said, Mi Asher Bana, who's this that built? Why is it Ha'ish? To include any man in regards to the new building, whether he purchased it or inherited or was given to him as a gift. Now, when it says, Mi Ish Asher Bana Bayis, who built a house, so only Ela Bayis, I would only know literally a house. Minayin L'Rabbis Beis HaTevin, how do I know to include a house for straw? Or Beis HaBakar, or a house for cattle? Or Beis HaEitzim, a house for wood? Or Beis HaEitzis, or a house for the storage. Tamalema Asher Bana. In other words, from the fact that the Pasuk didn't say Asher Bayis Bana, didn't say the word Bayis first, rather it first said Asher Bana. Yeah, the word Bayis comes afterward, but first on its own it says Asher Bana, which tells you to darshan, Mikol Malkim, whatever it is that you built is going to be included in this exemption, even a barn or a storage house. Now, however, Yochel Shani Marba Afa Boina Beishar, so if that's the case, so then maybe I would think to extend it, even if you build a Beishar, which is a house by the entryway of the gate of the courtyard, which is where the watchman, the guard, sits all the while, or let's say an Achsadra or Merpeset, which these are types of porches that maybe we would think that those types of, and they have an overhang, that maybe that would also be considered enough of a bias to be exempted. That's why the pasuk then continues, yes, Ashabana includes other types of houses, but that's why it continues with the word bias, to tell you that on some level it has to be ma bias, just like a house. A royal adira is fit for dwelling. I've called a royal adira also something that's fit for dwelling, which, yes, a barn or a storehouse, although it's used for other things, but they're fit for dwelling, but that excludes a beishar achsadra and a beishar achsadra mepesed, which they're made just for passageway and not for people to dwell over there, and therefore those are excluded from the exemption, and therefore one would not be chazer from lachama from these things. Now, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he actually argues on this whole drush, and he says, no, bias, kemashmoy, when it says someone that builds a house, it means literally a house, and a barn or all these other things are not included in the exemption of coming back from the war. Now, when it says in the pasuk that he was loy chanach, it doesn't say loy chanach, it says v'loy chanochoy. That's, from the fact that it doesn't say chanach, sounds like it's exclusionary, meaning to say, only over here, regarding this that you did not inaugurate. But something else would not be included in the exemption of even though you didn't inaugurate it. What's that? That's prat legazin. That's coming to exclude if someone stole a house, although he was not mechanachit, but that from the fact that we say that you didn't inaugurate it, saying only this, but something else is excluded, where yes, if you stole a house, even though you didn't get a chance to inaugurate it yet, that would not be included in the exemption of coming back from the war. Now, that the Gemara says, let's say this brisa that's learning off from the word an exemption to someone that stole a house, that's not included in the exemption, that would not be like Rabbi Yosef Glili from the next Mishnah. Because the year Rabbi Yosef Glili, if we'd be going like Rabbi Yosef Glili, he says, he interprets when the pasuk says that someone that's his soft of heart, that you can't fight the war, you got to be confident in betachan that Hashem is going to win the war, that then you go back home, he interprets who's the racha levav. Zehamasyari, there's someone that's afraid, as we continue on to Medbeis, Mehaveirish Shabiyadli, from the sins that's in his hands. Now, if you're saying that it's referencing to someone that stole a house, you're saying he does not go back from the war, because it's not considered chinuch, that he wasn't, you get a chance to inaugurate the house, because chanochi says only if he got it legitimately, not illegitimately, but to the contrary, basically, you should go back, not because you bought a house that you didn't inaugurate, but because of the sins in his hands, because he's considered Hayyari Varacha Levav, because he has a very Shabiyad that he stole a house. So now the Gemara says, now, Phil Timur Yosek Lili, could even say that Bryce is like Rabbi Yosek Lili. What we're talking about is that he did repentance, and he paid for the house that he stole. So we're talking about that although he has now a legitimate house, although he originally stole it, but he's not. He doesn't have any more sins in his hand. He's not a Yorei V'racha Levav because he did tshuva. So he's like as if he has no sins. And so therefore, that would not make him exempted. And that's what the Brice is saying. But maybe you would think he'd be exempted from the war effort because of that he didn't inaugurate his house. That's what we say. Lecha nochi, no, that since he got it through stealing, that's not included in the category of Bana Bais of Lecha nochi. I think more asked, but why? Ihachi, if you're saying that the case is Toma that he did tshuva, and he paid for it. So essentially, he's like someone that purchased a house, and therefore he should be able to go back from the war effort. Just like you said before, that even if you're lekeach a bias and you're beloy chanocha, you go back and you don't have to fight in the war. So the Gemara answer is that no, you're right. He ends up paying for it. But kiven the mikara, but teres gezela asliyadi. Since originally, how did he get a hold of this house? Was through theft? Then loy. So that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude by saying beloy chanocha. Although, yes, he's not a sinner now, but since he got it, not through legitimate ways, he did it through theft, so therefore that would not be included in someone that's exempt from fighting the war effort because of Eloi Chanochi. Now, the Mishnah said, going on to the next exemption, quoting the pasuk that the Meshuach Muhammad says, Umiyu isha shenota kerem b'chulu, and who is the man that planted a vineyard, etc., which again, the Mishnah spoke about the details. And again, Tarabon, when the Braisa, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that shows the sources for these halachas. It says in the pasuk asher nota, that he planted. Now, ainli elanota, I would only know regarding someone that he himself planted the vineyard. Lokach, if he purchased, the v'yarash, or he inherited, or v'nitin, loy b'matan, or was given to him as a gift, minayin, from where do we know that if he didn't get a chance yet to be mechalit, to enjoy it in its fourth year, that then he goes back from the war effort. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, again, umiho ish, which again, we said the word ish, is a superfluous term, Asher Nota Kerem, that plants a vineyard, to tell you that even if he didn't plant it, even if he just bought it or inherited it, it was given as a gift, would also be included in this exemption. Now, moving on to the next variable, Einli Eli Kerem, I would only know if what he planted, which he didn't get a chance to enjoy the fruits yet, is in reference to a vineyard. Minayin l'rabbis chamisha lo nimaychal. How do I know that it's even other types, as long as you have five of them, other types of fruit trees? Vafil mashami, even if it's from other types. Tamaloyma ashanata, again, similar to the drasha we said regarding the bona bayis, where it doesn't say bayis bona. Here also, it didn't say asher kerem nota, which it would have said vineyard first. Rather, it first says ashanata, and then the word kerem. So therefore, they are isolated on their own. You could read it just ashanata, which is whatever you plant, even if it's not a vineyard, because the word kerem wasn't mentioned yet. But then, so why does it then end up with the word kerem? So that's what the Braisa continues. Because you would think to include as part of the exemption, even if you only plant four fruit trees, or v'chamisha ilon yisrak, or five non-fruit trees. That's where the pasuk then concludes and says, not a kerem, where at least it has to be similar to a vineyard, which is the smallest size that a vineyard is, are five fruit trees, and therefore it has to be the number five, and they have to be a type of a fruit tree. Now again, as in the previous halacha, he says, no, kerem, it says a vineyard, kemashmoy, literally as it says, the only exemption is a vineyard and not any other fruit tree. Now again, as we mentioned before, the pasuk says, loy chilil, where it regards to houses that he didn't get a chance to inaugurate it. Here, it says that he didn't get a chance to deconsecrate it, to enjoy the fruits in the fourth year. Now it doesn't say loy chilil, it says v'loy chilil loy. He didn't get a chance to deconsecrate it, which sounds like this, but not something else. What's that excluding? Prat is coming to exclude, which would not be included in the exemption, lemavrich, to someone that does havracha, which again, as we said before, means to say that he takes a branch of an existing tree and sticks it into the ground, and then that makes its own tree, or ulamarkiv, someone that does harkava, which is grafting, which is that he takes an existing tree, makes a hole in it, then he takes a soft branch from a different tree and sticks it into that tree, which again, then that branch from that hole in that tree starts producing fruits from that other tree. That is not included in what you didn't get a chance to be mechal, that would not exempt you. Which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'anantinan, we learned in our Mishnah, that it's echad aneteh, whether if you planted a tree, or v'echad amavrich, or whether you did mavrich, or v'echad amarkev, or whether you did grafting, that would exempt from the war effort. So how are we saying that, from the fact that it says loy chil loy, to say that it's only if it's a tree, but if you did grafting, or if you did havracha, that then that would not exempt you, and our Mishnah says clearly that it would exempt you. So that the Gemara answers, Amr Abzeir, Amr Abchiz, he says, Loi Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Because Khan, over here in the Braisa that says that it's not an exemption, is Toma Baharkavas Isr. When you do a forbidden type of a grafting, which is what's called Min B'She'inimin, you take two different types of trees, that's the Pasuk is coming to exclude, just like we said by Voloi Chanochai, by Bayis, it's coming to exclude something forbidden, like when you steal a house. Here also it's coming to exclude something forbidden, which is when you do a Harkava of two different types of trees, that's forbidden to graft. Khan, our Mishnah that said that it is included in the exemption, is Baharkava Sater, is when you do a permitted type of a grafting, which is a Jewish person is allowed to take two different trees, which are from the same type, just one has larger fruit and one has smaller fruit, as long as from the same type, that's permitted, that would be included in the heter of Eloi Chilaloi. If you grafted just recently a tree and you didn't get a chance to enjoy its fruits, that is included in the exemption. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Hai harkavas heter. This that you just explained, the halach of our Mishnah, which is included in the exemption of the war effort. If you grafted from two permitted trees, say, hey, chidami, what is the case conceptualization that would allow you to come back from the war effort if you didn't get a chance yet to deconsecrate the fruits of this grafting? So the Gemara says as follows, because ilem yaldu b'yalda, if you say that what we're talking about here is, because that's what grafting is, you take one tree, and then you graft another tree into that tree. So if the existing tree that's in the ground, that you're grafting the branch into, is a new sapling, a new tree, and even that original tree didn't yet reach its fourth year to deconsecrate that tree, but then the challenge with that interpretation is, but the reason why you would be coming back from the war effort then wouldn't be the new graft that you put into that tree, because even without grafting, you would still come back from the war, because typically you would be coming back from the war effort because of that first tree that you're grafting into, which that tree itself you didn't get a chance to deconsecrate, which that's the exemption of Nota Kamala Chilulai. Ella rather says the Gemara must be talking about Yal de Biskena, that you have an old tree there which was already deconsecrated. It's an old tree that you've been using for many years. And now you're grafting in a young branch into that old tree. That's a new graft. That's only the graft that was Loi Chilulai. And that's what we're saying, that the Harkava would allow you to come back. And that the Gemara asks, but that's also difficult. Because V'amr Bavo says, Yal de Shesivcha Biskena, regarding a young branch that's grafted into an old tree, but lo yal de biskena, we consider the young branch that's grafted into the old tree as if it's nullified, and we don't consider it as its own entity. And therefore, moreover, the imba din arla, there's no halacha of arla, meaning regarding the first 3 years of the fruits being forbidden from that new branch that's grafted in, and therefore, consequently, there's no din of neter avai of the fourth year of deconsecrating it. And now, Rashi just points out, although the Mishnah does say Masechtas Arla, that grafting makes you obligated in the halachas of Arla, that's actually the other way around. When you take an old branch and you stick it into a new young tree, where there what we say is that, yes, even that old branch is now liable in halachas of Arla, because although it was detached from an old tree, now it actually becomes bottled to the young, to the primary tree that's being grafted into, which is a young tree, which is in the halachas of Arla. So therefore, the Gemara asks, you can't say it's a yalda in a yalda, because then it would be the original tree that's making you come back. And neither could it be a yalda, a young branch, into an old tree in the Tzikena, because then actually you would not be chayzer from Mochama, because there is no halacha of lechilulai, because we see it as an old tree already, which doesn't have halacha of arlo or chilul of netaravai. So Amar Bimri Rimriya says, lo'olam yalda b'yalda. The truth is, what we're talking about over here is that it's a young branch being grafted into a young tree. Now, if you're going to ask, then what do you mean? Even without grafting, you would still be coming back from fighting the war because of the first tree that's existing over there. And that he answers, no. What we'd be talking about is that the original tree that you're grafting into was originally planted to be used as a fence. So, for example, let's say this person had a breach in the wall of his field. So he planted there a tree to then plug up that hole. Or Ula Kairis. He planted the original tree to use it and to cut it, to use it for wood, to make beams out of it when it grows. Where it's not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Arla, Taloch is Hanateil Isyog Ula Kairis. If someone plants a tree to be used as a wall or to be used for beams, Patam in the Arla, it's exempt from Arla because you're not planting it for its fruit. So that's how Yirmiyah is qualifying it, that yes, it's a young tree into a young tree. But so what are you saying? You'd be coming back because of the original tree? No, that tree actually doesn't have the halacha of arlo or revai because it wasn't planted for its fruits. It's only this added branch that now you're planting and you're grafting for its fruits that would allow you to come back for it. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation, but umayshna yalda bezikena the batla, why is it any different as we just quoted from the halacha and the Mishnah Masechtas Arla? That when you plant a young branch into an existing old tree, which we say the primary tree is the ikar, and we view the add-on as if it's butlin it. So umayshna yalda beyalda delay butlin. So then why is it any different where then the old tree, just like over there when you plant it in the old tree, it exempts it from arla and revai because the old tree already passed that stage already. See, here when you're planting the young one into the young one, so you should say the same thing, is this new young branch is butled to the old young tree, meaning the original young tree, which is also exempt from Arla because it wasn't planted for its fruits. Even this branch that is being planted for its fruits, we should consider it as bottled to the original and should not have the halacha of Arla and Revai. And therefore, it should not allow you to come back from the war effort. So that the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Hasam over there by the old tree, imim l'chala, if he would change his mind regarding the old tree, lav bas mehadarhi, there's no way of going back and changing your mind regarding the old tree to make it as if it's a young tree. No matter how much you're going to think about it, it already passed the stage of Arla, it's already passed the stage of Revai. There's no way that it's in the category of Revai, and therefore, when the young branch gets stuck into it, it gets now the same categorical halacha of being past the halacha of Arla and Revai. In contrast, hacha over here, when the young tree was planted, let's say as a fence, imim lachala, If at any point in time during the first 3 years of when it was planted, which are the years of Arla, if he changes his mind and that he says, I want to maintain this tree for its fruits, bas mahadrihi, it's something that you could retract on, and would then that changing of your purpose of it would actually be make it liable in the halachas of Arla. Now, for that reason, when you now take a young branch and you graft it into that other young tree, and the new young branch is for the intentions of eating its fruits, it's going to be liable in Arla, even though actually now you didn't change your mind regarding the first young tree, but since now you planted the new branch in it for eating purposes, that thought process allows the new young branch to be liable in Arla, because the homi kara lepeiri kame, because actually originally it is extant for fruits. In other words, because even the primary young tree, if you would think about it, just your thought about it would allow it actually to make it liable in Arla. So though you're right, when you planted it, it's not why you planted it, but you could actually retract and make it into something, an entity that has Arla and Revai. So therefore, it would be included for the, at least the new branch to be chayiv in the halachas of Arla, again, in contrast to an old tree, which you can't even make it into an entity of Arla and Chil. As the Gemara says, midi dehava'a olu me'aleim. This is similar to a halacha where when you have a tree that comes by its own, meaning at the time when you planted it, you had no intentions whatsoever. Let's say someone just dropped the seed and it planted. Ditnan, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Arla, olu me'aleim, if the tree comes out on its own, chayavim ba'arla, you would be liable for Arla. So we see that you don't need to have specific intention, meaning to say that a tree always has the wherewithal to become chayiv in Arla and then in Chilul. So you're right, even though here when he planted the tree, he didn't, the original tree was not for intention of its fruits, but that doesn't preclude its ability to have the halach of Arla and Revai, where if he changed his mind, it would be chayiv. So therefore, at least for the new branch, although yes, we do consider it batl on some level to the original tree, but even that original tree has in it the category of Arla and Revai, and therefore the new branch would be chayiv and Arla and Revai. And again, that's why it's enough on its own to exempt the person from fighting in the war, because when you do a yalda and a yalda that was made for a siyago kaira, it is in the halachas of Arla and Revai. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiya, why did he have to say such what's called a deichik teretz, a contrived answer to say that the tree that you're grafting into was originally planted to be a fence or for beams? Why don't you just say very simply that the original tree was planted for consumption? Now, if you're going to say, what do you mean? We can't say that. The reason why is because we have the challenge. Then why would you be coming back from the war effort because of the grafting? You'd be coming back because of the original young tree. And that asks the Gemara, the Lukma Bekerem Shalosh Shnei Shutfin. Why didn't you just say they were talking about a vineyard that's owned by two partners, meaning the original young tree is owned by Reuven? Now Shimon comes and he takes his own branch, a young branch, and grafts it in, and he wants that the fruits that are going to grow from this branch, which he grafted in, should be his. Dahai hadar adi day, where one would come back, meaning let's say Reuben would come back for his young tree, Dahai hadar adi day, and Shimon would come back for his own branch that he grafted in. Very simply, you'll have a case of where the person's coming back only because of the graft. And you're going to say, what do you mean? You have the original young tree. That's not his tree. That's Reuben's tree. And it's only Shimon's graft. Why don't you say that case? So I'm a papa. Papa says, Zayis emes, what you could infer from this, that Rabbi Yirmiya didn't say this, Kerem shloshnei shutfin, that a vineyard owned by two partners, ein chayz nalav ma'archei hamalchama, that doesn't allow him to return from fighting in the war. And that's not valid enough to be considered his kerem to say that he didn't get a chance to be mechalad yet. So since it's only his graft, or it's only his tree, that would not be enough. Now the Gemara wonders why. Why is it any different than the halacha of five brothers, which just references a braisa on the next daf, which the halacha is, umeis echad mehen b'melchama, if one of the brothers died in war, the halacha is, du kulon chayzrin, all the brothers, they all come back from fighting the war effort, because since now the brother who died without any children leaves over this widow who is considered a shemer siyavim, each one of these brothers is a eligible match for this woman, so they all come back. So why is a vineyard that has two partners any different? Seemingly here this woman has five partners, five possible suitors. Here also you have two partners in this vineyard. Why does it have to be exclusive? We see by the Shemer Se'avim, it doesn't have to be exclusive. So why over there wouldn't you be Chayzer Me'orcha Mechama? So the Gemara answers, no, there's a fundamental difference. Hasam Kochad V'chad Kirina Be'ishtei. There, by each one of those from the brothers, each one, maybe he's going to be the one doing the Yibam, and it's totally exclusively his wife. We just don't know who it is yet. That's why they come back. Hacha Kochad V'chad L'Kirina Be'karma. But here, each one of these partners, we can't call it his vineyard, which is designated for him, because here in the vine, neither one owns the entire thing. One owns the original tree, one owns the branch, and because of that, we can't consider it karmai, his vineyard, and that's why you're not chayzim arachal macham, and that's why Rav Mirmi had to say a more of a contrived answer by saying that the original tree was planted either to be a fence or to be used for its wood and not for its fruits. That's one approach. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he gives a different interpretation for this question that we asked, which was, what is it that when our Mishnah means when it says that if he's Mavrich or Markiv, that he's Chayzer, which again we asked, what do you have to come on to the grafting? It's because of the original tree. So he says, it's Toma B'Mavrich Ilan B'Yerek, where the person grafted a tree onto herbs, onto vegetables, where there's no coming back because of the original tree, because the original is not a tree. So it's only when you nut a kerem, a vineyard, or a tree like that. But here, where he grafted onto a yerek, so that's very simply why he's only coming back, because of the grafting and not because of the original tree. Now, however, he preempts and says, now, if you're going to say, wait a second, how can you say that's the case? You're not allowed to graft what's called min b'she'enu mina. You can't graft two different types of species, where here you're taking a fruit tree and grafting it onto herbs, and therefore that is, as we mentioned actually before, that's excluded from the exemption when you do a forbidden grafting, from when it says v'loy chilal loy and not just v'loy chilal, that excludes if you do a mavrich or markiv of iser. That explains Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'hai tanahu, this tana that of our Mishnah that's saying that it is mutter, is the tana like we learned in the Braisa. Ha mavrich ilan b'yarek, if someone grafts a fruit tree into herbs, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel matar. He said that's permitted. And he says this, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamda ish Kfar Akai, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamda, who was a man from the village, from the place called Kfar Akai. Now, Vachachamayis, say it's forbidden, but he's explaining that the town of our Mishnah is like this Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that it is permitted to graft a tree onto a yarek, and therefore, that's why it's only the Harkava that's allowing you to come back, because the original is not a tree. That would not be allowing you to come back. It's actually a yarek. Those are two approaches in explaining that question. Now, however, regards to the previous contradiction that we asked from the Braisa on our Mishnah regarding is Mavrich and Markiv excluded from the term Balei Chilaloi, or is it included like our Mishnah from the exemption, where the previous Gemara had given an answer to say, oh, it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah is talking about being Mavrich and Markiv of Heter, and the Braisa was talking about of Iser. Now the Gemara gives a different answer for that question. Ki as Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Om Rav Yechanan, name of Rav Yechanan, Hamani, who is the Tana of the Braisa that excluded Mavrich and Markiv, that you don't come back from the war effort, not like our Mishnah? That, he says, it's not a contradiction, because that Braisa is not an anonymous opinion. Rather, it's actually the end of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, who was mentioned there in that Braisa. Because as Rav Dimi says, Loi Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Hasam, didn't Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say in the Braisa that we quoted before, that Kerem, when it says that what allows you to come back, if you planted a vineyard, he says, Kemash Moi, as its name is, where he says only a vineyard, not other fruit trees. So therefore, Hachanami, not to Kemash Moi, he also interprets literally not just the subject, but also the one who's doing it, regarding the planting. It's only neteya in. It's only when you literally plant a tree, but mavrich umarkiv loy. But if you stuck the branch into the ground, or if you grafted, that is also, even if, yes, it's not like the halacha of a Mishnah, but it's not a contradiction, because that's anyways Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who anyways argues on the entire premise of a Mishnah, where he says it only has to be literally a house, not a barn. It has to be a vineyard, not other trees. So too regarding the words of the pasuk, when it says nata, has to be literally that you planted, and not that you grafted, even if it's our kav of heter, that it's going on the previous mentioned opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says it has to be literally as the pasuk says. Now the Gemara continues on this pattern of what we just said of ki asr of dimi, that when Rav Dimi came, that he said Amr Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara continues with many different halachas that Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, again because this is what, as we said before, Ki Asa Rav Dimi. So when Rav Dimi came, he said this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan in the name of Lezer ben Yaakov, Yalda Pechusa Mitefach, a young tree that's smaller than a tefach, it's very low down, and it's actually one of those trees that will never grow higher than a tefach, which is very low. And that the halacha is Chayeves Ba'ar L'Kol Shnei Seah. So all its years, meaning even when it passes the third, the fourth, the fifth, sixth year, it's still going to be obligated in Arlo, rabbinically. And the reason being is Dimischazi Kavashata, because it looks like, it gives the appearance like it's in its first year, and someone sees that person eating the fruits is going to think that the fruits of Arlo, which is the fruits of the first 3 years of a tree, are permitted. And therefore, rabbinically, the fruits of this tree is always forbidden. But that the Gemara qualifies Vahani Mili, that this halacha was only said as rabbinically a problem because of what's called marasayin, of what the appearance is only if shtayim keneged shtayim v'achaz yetzizanav, only if it's the smallest size of what an orchard or a vineyard would be, which again we have two, and then another two, and then one coming out as a tail, which are five. But if it's a huge vineyard, then kala islay, then the word about it gets out. In other words, everyone knows it's a huge vineyard. Everyone sees his field. They know he has an interesting type of a vineyard. And because it doesn't grow beyond, but everyone knows it's not in its first few years, so then there's no marasayin, and then everyone knows, and then you can go ahead and eat its fruits. Now, just interestingly, Rashi points out, why did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov have to say that the problem would only be if it's five trees, and not, let's say, one tree, where then it would always have a halachic problem of Arlo. So, as Rashi interprets the Gemara Masechtas Brachas Avolam Heim Ra'alav, he learns that the halacha of Kerem Revai, which it's a machleik, if it's by all fruit trees, this halacha, or only by a vineyard, as literally, like the word says, only if it's a Kerem. A vineyard is only considered a vineyard if it's at least five trees. If actually it's one or two or three, actually the halachas of Arlo don't apply the way Rashi interprets that come over there. That's why it has to be five, which is the minimum. Then people don't know. Then there's marasayin. But if it's a huge vineyard, then it's okay. You can go ahead. There's no problem, and you could eat its fruits, even if it looks like it's in its first year. Now, a similar type of a halacha, again with the same introduction, where ki asr Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amr b'yichad m'shem b'lez ben Yaakov, a different halacha, meis taifis arba amas l'krishma, a dead person contains the area, the perimeter around it of four amas, regards to the halacha of Krishma, meaning a person cannot say Krishma within a corpse is four amas. The chsiv, because like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, loyigul rush, the one who mocks the poor person, which is that he's saying Krishma, but here the dead person can't because he's dead. Cheref oiseyu, he blasphemes that person's maker. Again, it's an inappropriate thing to do by saying doing a mitzvah in a corpse's area. Now, another halacha from Amr Yitzchak of Amr Yechanan Mishum Lez Ben Yaakov, Churgasa, a stepdaughter, meaning his wife's daughter, Hagadela Ben Achin, that grew up amongst the brothers, meaning the sons of the husband from a different wife, Asur L'Nasla Achin, are forbidden to marry the brothers. Again, similar to the previous halacha that we mentioned, Dimischaz Yikiach Sayu, again for the appearance of it, because she appears like their sister. So someone that doesn't know and sees she grows up in the family, he's going to think that she's their sister. And as if a brother is marrying a sister, so because of that appearance, it's forbidden. There's more comments, but Allah, actually, that's not the case. Because Kala Isla Milsa, similar like we said before, when the word gets out, there's no problem about marasayin. Here everybody knows that she's just a stepsister, and therefore there's no problem. Another halacha from Amr Yitzchak, Amr B'yechad, and Mishum Lezim, and Yaakov. And again, similar to this concept about marasayin, but if there's a kol, if the word gets out, then there's no problem about marasayin, is leket shikhu upeya, regarding the gleanings or those sheaves that are forgotten or the corners of the field, which these are matnasanim, these are gifts that the poor could take from a field. Sha'asan, where if the poor person made all that he gathered, he went to the fields, he had a really good day, he collected the poor man's gifts, if he made it into a begirin, if he made it into one big pile, and he made it a kree out of it, a pile, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, hukvula meiser. Now, they're established that he has to give tithes from this pile that he got, what he collected, and that's only rabbinically. And the reason being, again, as the previous halachas were saying, because someone that sees this big pile is going to think that it grew in the field. And he's going to say, you're eating without ma'aser. Rabbinically, you have to give ma'aser. Now that Amar Ula qualifies and says, lo yomar in el basada. This halacha was only said in the field, where he has this huge pile in the field, where not everybody knows that he had gathered a little bit and a little bit from this field and that place, and they're going to think that that's where it grew. So you can't go ahead and now eat it without ma'aser because of the appearance of wrongdoing. But if he made this huge pile in the city, meaning by his house, by his neighbors, all his neighbors know that he's a poor man, and he gathered it a little bit from there, a little bit from there, and they know that what seems like this big pile, which is usually what a person does after he reaps the crop from his field, was really from the leket and the shikra and the peyah. Where there, the halacha is, as everybody knows, is exempt from ma'aser. Whereas it's taught in the Brayis and the Sifri, the pasuk says, Uvoha Levi. The Levi comes and he gets ma'aser rishon because he doesn't have a portion and inheritance with you. Which the interpretation is, only something that he doesn't have a portion and inheritance with you, that he gets, and the person has to give ma'aser to him. But that excludes leket shechapei, which he does have a portion and inheritance with you, because poor people and Levim, it's considered hefker for them. And just like other poor people of the Jewish people, the Levim are able to take it. He has inheritance in that. Those are things which are not obligated in Meiser. So again, therefore, where it's in the city, where they know it's really from Leket Shechapeya, that are things that he's not obligated to give Trumas, to give Meiser from. But again, if it's in the field because of Marasayan, then he does have to give Meiser. Continuing on this halacha again from Amr B'Yitzchak, Amr B'Yechid, Mishim Elizim and Yaakov, he says, Yalda habchusa mitefach. Again, same idea, we have a young tree that's smaller than a tefach. So, einu mikadeshes es hazroim. It does not create the halacha of kalayim with other things that are planted with them because of the halacha that's brought in the Torah called kalai hakerem, which kalayim is forbidden mixtures related to a vineyard. Where the pasuk says, tikdesh hamalei hazera. If you do that, you plant something else in the vineyard, then everything becomes forbidden. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going according to the opinion mentioned in Masechtas Menachas of Tezvav Mabez, that actually only hemp and beans were forbidden by the Torah to be planted in the vineyard, and if it is, then it's considered kalayim. But other plants are only rabbinically forbidden. Now that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that in such a type of a vineyard, which is so small, that is not like a regular vineyard, there, the Rabbanan did not make their rabbinic decree of creating kalayim for other seeds. Other things besides canvas and leaf, hemp and beans, which are only rabbinically forbidden, we only made it by a regular, normal type of a vineyard. But regarding this small type of one, which is not even beyond the tefach, so that the rabbis didn't make their decree. Now, says, but Vahanimili, he qualifies and says, that was only said, shtaim keneged shtaim v'achas yetzizanam, when it's only like really a very small type of vineyard, which is the minimum when you have two and two and one. Abo kule kerem, but if you have a huge vineyard, even from these small little trees, which are only a tefach tall, but since it's chashev, it's a whole huge vineyard, then makdish, then the rabbis did make their decree, and it would be forbidden rabbinically as kalayim if you planted these other things in that vineyard. Another halacha of Amr B'Yitzchok, Amr B'Yechid, Mishur Melezim and Yaakov, as we continue on top of Mimdal Manalv, Meis Teifes Arba Amas L'Tumah. A corpse captures the area of four Amas in its perimeter regards to the halachas of Tumah. In other words, again, as we were talking about Gzeris Chachamim that we're mentioning in all these halachas, the rabbis made a decree that a corpse should transmit Tumah to anyone that enters into the Dalet Amas, meaning biblically that's not the case. You either have to touch it or carry it or lean over it. But the Chacham said, you come in Dalet Amos, you're considered Tamei. The reason being for that is they didn't want people that consume Taharis to come near the area of the mess. And he's going to think that at least he didn't lean over. The problem is, then the concern is that maybe he's going to be stretching out to reach something and he's going to, by mistake, go over the airspace of the corpse which has halacha of oil. And he's not going to realize, and he's going to end up eating taharis, which is problematic. So they said rabbinically, to come within the area of four amas of the mess, you're considered tamei. Now, says the Gemara, v'tana tuna, that so too we have one of our tanas, meaning from the Mishnayis that we learned in the Beis Medrash, which is from Seydi Taharis, a Mishnah Masechtas Alis, supports this halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that generally there is a halacha of tumah, at least rabbinically, to come into the area of four amas of a mess. What's the proof? Because the Mishnah says in Masechtas Alis as follows. Chatzar HaKever, which literally translates as the courtyard of the grave, which is before the catacombs, before the caves that there are where the dead used to be buried. And that is, as Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechtas Baba Basra Daf Kuf Amud Beis, which talks about how they used to structure their cemeteries, which they used to make caves underground, which is either a 6x6 or by 4, where they would dig into the walls in that area, these long catacombs, which are holes dug into the wall, which according to the measure of the corpses, and that's where they would bury the dead people in the walls of those caves. Now, these caves are covered with a roof, with what's on top of them, and they would make a pit, a wide pit, on the side of this cave, which that opening would open up into this cave, where that's how they would get in there. And that would be in the wall of the cave, meaning like a type of an opening. Now, this pit, which is how you get down there, that's what's called the Chatzar HaKever. That's the so to speak, the courtyard of the grave. It's the area that's how you get down into that area where the catacombs are. So on that, says the Mishnah Masechtas Alos, Ha'oimid b'teicha, if someone is standing in any area in that Chatzar HaKever, in that pit that gets you into that area, that person is going to be tahar. Now, the reason being for that is because since the cave itself is considered a distinct area and its walls are recognizable, the rabbis did not make their decree that the mason that are inside should capture the area around them of Dalet Amos, which would even include the area of the person that's in this Chatzar HaKever, in the area that gets him down into there. Because again, the whole reason why the rabbis made this decree of Dalet Amos was only, let's say, by a corpse that's out in the open ear. Or let's say that if someone would be over the area of the Ma'ara itself, where the person is buried, so that we could distance the person from leaning over the area of the Tumah. But here, since there's a recognizable area that it separates, so even if you're within Dalet Amos, you're going to be considered tar. However, the clause is Bahu Shayu Ba Arba Amas. But it has to be at least that this Chatzar HaKever, this area that opens up into there, has to be at least 4 Amas, which is considered its own distinct area. But if it's less than Dalet Amas, then it's going to be considered Batal and considered secondary ancillary to the Ma'ara itself, which is the cave where the dead people are buried, and it wouldn't be considered in its own area not to be considered Tameh. That's Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, they argue, they say, no, Arba Tfachim, all it has to be is 4 Tfachim, is already considered generally in Halacha a Makam Chashiv, as we know in different areas, let's say regarding the walls, regarding Halacha Samechitzes, 4 Tfachim is considered enough of a distinct area, and if that's how big it is, the area that enters into the Ma'ara, into the cave area where they're buried, it's enough, and he'll be tar. Now, qualifies the Mishnah, but Medivum Amurim, when did Beis Hillel say this Halacha, that you'll be tar in that area, even if it's just 4 tefachim, if it's shepischa, if the opening of this chatzar, of the courtyard, so to speak, area of the catacombs, are milmala, are on top. In other words, that there's no slope coming at an angle from the side into the caves. Rather, it comes from on top, and you have to jump in that way. So when you're coming in, you jump down, and when you actually have to go out, you have to climb your way out, which actually the Gemara will ask, that it actually seems to be, it should be actually just the opposite. And the Gemara will retract. But for now, that's how it's said over there, that Beis Hillel qualifies, says, when did we say this, that it's enough with 4 tefachim? If the opening is milmala, it's from on top. Ava pischem in the top, but if the opening to the catacombs are from the side, divrei hakol arba amas, then everyone agrees that it has to be 4 amas, it wouldn't be enough with an area of 4 tefachim. To which the Gemara asks, klapi lai, exactly which way are you going in your logic in qualifying when is it enough with 4 tefachim and when do you need Dalet Amos? Adar Abba, to the contrary, the logic would seem to indicate the other way, that min hatzad, when the courtyard was made on a slope coming from the sides, then you could say that since the rabbis only made their decree of Dalet Amos, in other words, they didn't require it when there's recognizable walls, and it's going to be enough for the courtyard of 4 tefachim, because someone that's standing over here is going to be tahar, because what are you going to make him tummy with? He doesn't have to climb his way out, that you're going to think as if when he's climbing his way out, he's going to stretch his arms over the area of where the catacombs themselves are, and he's going to be over the ear space of the entryway to the Ma'ara, because when he's leaving, midarid v'nafik, he's just going to slip out from the side of the cave, going towards the entryway of the Chatzar HaKever, and that's how he's going to leave. Whereas Milmala, to the contrary, if the only way you get in is not through the side, but from the top, it's not possible that he's not going to be leaning over the area. Because since it's only going to be four tfachim, then it's not possible he's not going to be stretching out somewhat, at least when he's climbing out from there, only if he's leaning over somewhat of the cavity of the entryway, which is where the dead are buried. So, rather, the Gemara concludes, you're right, the other way around. When did we say that it's enough with four tfachim, because that is considered its own makom chashuv? That's shepischa min atzad. That if the entryway is from the side, then it's enough with four tfachim, because again, then you don't have to climb out over the area of the cavity. You could just come out on the side, and four tfachim is considered its own distinct area. Avapischa mil mala, but if the entryway is from the top, then according to everybody, it would have to be arba amos, have to be four amos, because again, if it's such a tight area of da'at fachim, you're inevitably going to be leaning over the area, not just of the chatzar kever, but of the kever itself, and then you're going to have the halacha of tumas oil, and therefore that's going to be problematic, and you're not going to be tar, then everyone would agree it'd have to be at least a wide area of four amos to be able to get out without leaning over and getting tumas oil. That's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Olos. Now, the Gemara concludes the proof that we want from Elazar ben Yaakov from this Mishnah, from the fact that the Mishnah had to say that the one who stands in the Chatzar HaKever is tar, that obviously it's only because of Hanimili. When did this Mishnah Masechtas Olos say this? By Chatzar HaKever, by the courtyard of these graves, the Mesayim Mechitzas, as we explained up until now, because it has clearly distinct walls that separate it. The cave has its own area, and the Chatzar HaKever has its own area, and it's recognizable. But the inference is, Aval, Meis B'Alma, but generally, a regular corpse that's out in the open, there, Beis Hillel would agree that Tafis, that then the corpse would encompass its surrounding area, even up to four Amis, from the fact that they had to say, whoever's in the Chatzar Kever, if you're standing over there, you're going to be Tar. And the reason for this is because if in generally we didn't say this Gezerah of the mess transmitting Tumah in its area around four Amis, why would I have to say over here that you are going to be Tar, even less than four Amis, in just for tfachim? Must be that yes, because generally there is this rabbinic halacha of being within even four amis, you are going to be considered tummy, again for the concern of being mal over it. But again, over here is an exception that Basil said here for tfachim will work because it's a makam chashav, and we don't have the concern of leaning over it because the walls of the ma'ara are distinct from the chatzah hakavah.